KXLU 88.9 FM in LA, KXLU.com all around the world. Coming to you from the Loyola Marymount University campus in Westchester, Mystic Pete here with a very special live edition of kind of a hybrid of Mystic Pete Chronicles and In a Dream. A little later, we're going to have all the DJ music, but I have an extraordinary bunch of people in studio live right now. It's the cast of a show called Poetique?
That is correct.
Did I get that right, Vince?
You did. Poetique, yes.
Spelled P-O-E-E-T-I-Q-U-E, poetique.com.
Poetique.
Okay.
Yes.
Like etiquette or something like that.
Like poetic, but like a play on words. Like it's very French. It's fancy.
You're listening to the voice of Vince, who's one of the creators and proprietors.
I am the creator.
The creator.
Yes. Although I had some help with the writing, of course. But yeah, this is my crazy mind that has evolved into what it is now.
Why don't we just go around? I'll have you introduce everybody. Everybody gets to say a few words about who they are and what they do. You know,
yeah.
Trumpet player, used car sales, whatever you guys, you know, want to talk
about.
Yeah,
I'll let everybody, you know, introduce themselves. But I'm Vincenzo Carubia. That's what I go by professionally. But I am the creator and the writer, director, producer of Poetique. And this is my first full-length stage production. I come from the world of music and film, and this is my first time doing a stage production. Though I have three theater venues that I rent out, so this is kind of one of those things where I was like, you know what, I need to use this space for me and do something creative that I want to do. So that's what this came from.
Yeah. And it's a unique project, I guess, Halloween-themed-ish.
Yes, it's perfect for Halloween. So if you are a big Halloween head, like, this is a great thing to do with your friends and to just have fun. If you like immersive stuff, if you like scary stuff, you know, things like Sleep No More in New York City or JFI or other things like that, like, it's very much in the wheelhouse of, like, you know, things that make you feel like you're very much a part of the story.
Yes. And a bunch of creatives and visionaries and misfits are involved.
Yeah, right? I would say we're a group of misfits. Yeah, that's a way to put it.
Well, I'd worked with Sheena years ago, and I saw her post a couple of months ago.
Oh, well, she's the most misfit of us all.
Okay, very good. I played cello, and she was dancing at some, I can't even remember what it was, but some incredible event. And L.A. has these little jewels, these extraordinary experiences, so much talent in this city, really extraordinary people, and we just all like clump together and create... we're the edge of West Coast.
I mean, in the core of our group is like, there's fire dancers, there's aerial artists, there's magicians, there's dancers, there's singers, there's everything you can think of. Like, we're just a big circus of performers, really.
And this is part of the show, poétique.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, why don't we go around, then we'll get into the details of the show a little bit. Why don't we start
first
with... Jewel.
All right.
Can you talk
into
this one too?
Yes,
boom.
Please.
Okay.
Hello. So my name is Jewel Valentin. I play Dr. William. I'm writer, actor, certified loon. got involved in this project about a while back. Vince was reaching out to me and telling me, oh, you got to try this out. And we did a show, Rent, years back. And now we're full circle doing, popping over from one depressing musical to another great depressing guy to Edgar Allan Poe. It's like, hey.
By the way, people can find all of these actors on Instagram, probably with the names they're telling you right now. And if you miss anything, all right, you just email me and I'll connect you up. And say your name again, your full name?
Jewel Valentin.
J-E-W-E-L-L.
Yes.
Okay.
Double L's.
And then we have Tristan.
Yeah, that's me. Let's go through all the actors. We love our spotlight.
That's a nice radio voice right there.
My name is Tristan Rewald.
A little baritone. Okay, good.
Yeah. Put me on the far end of the chorus. That's where I like to be. Singing the high notes, please. My name is Tristan Rewald. I'm an actor as well. Graduate of University of Michigan and University of Connecticut. Recently been having a lot of fun acting in the vertical drama world. But in this show, I play Montresor, sort of the head of household. In a sense, you could think of him as the head of the Illuminati. Very welcoming on the forefront, but then, you know, along with a good character arc that all the characters have, he takes a turn for the worse. And one thing I'll say is that the thing that drew me into this place, I mean, like just about everyone, I came to it through a fluke in a sense, but once I saw just the collaboration of different disciplines, it was magnetic. And I still will go and be an audience member in the show when I have the other actor doing my part, and I see something new every time, and I love the feeling of, I dare say, catharsis that comes from this show.
Oh, okay. We're getting a little Freudian here, huh? Mm.
I want Tristan to read me books before bed.
Yeah, right.
I do know where you live.
There we go.
A very handsome man. And Tristan, what else do you love to do, just by the way? I know you're also a sailor on a whaling boat, right? was that you? I'm mixing you up for some?
No, but that reminds me. I do have to read Moby Dick next. So Vince, that's going to be,
that'll be
your bedtime story.
Okay.
All right.
They call me Ishmael. Is that the same book?
Yes, that is. All right, well, why don't I put you on the spot with the whole fishing curveball. Why don't we go on to Daniel Prado.
Yes, here I am.
Hi, Daniel Prado.
Thank you so much. My name is Daniel Prado. I'm the international gem of this cast. I come from Venezuela, and I'm nothing but honored and humbled to be playing in this show. I play two parts. I do Prospero, who is pretty much Montresor's nephew, if we follow the family history. And I also play Fortunato, who is the servant of this house. And it's been an amazing opportunity to create with wonderful artists and an experience that we hope people from Los Angeles give themselves the opportunity to come and see and be part of it.
Beautiful. What else do you love to do?
I love acting. I love dancing. I love doing martial arts as well.
Okay.
I love cooking. Actually, I'm very into cooking. I'm learning Italian, love languages as well. So anything that can help me to communicate better in any way or form.
I just want to give you some advice. When you're making spaghetti, do not break it in half.
I'm telling you. Yeah, yeah, I know. I learned it in the bad way. I was dating this Italian girl that I'm not dating anymore because of breaking pasta when cooking. So, please do not do that.
Thank you so much. And then we have Deanne Catterton right over here. Hold on.
Gotta wheel myself over here.
Okay, limited mics here. We're sharing.
Hi, guys. So I'm Deanne Catterton, and I am I'm one of the choreographers for this show, and I'm also the assistant director, and I play Annabelle. A lot of hats in this one, and this is my first production that I have ever choreographed, so thank you, team, for all of your patience and grace and just positive attitudes, because I think I would have croaked if I didn't have you guys. But what do I like to do outside of this? I know.
What's your passion?
Who am
acting,
I?
Right?
Well, actually, I'm a dancer. I'm big time dancer. Acting, I was kind of thrown into for this project specifically, but I mean.
But you're killing it.
Thank you. Don't spoil the show, Vince.
No,
come on.
No spoilers.
Gosh. But yeah, I love to dance. But outside of that, I'm a very family oriented girl. So I travel home to Maryland way too often. And I like to just sit and watch TV. I'm kind of boring, actually. But hey, we have fun here.
We do.
All right. What a cast. A lot of talent all packed in one room. Well, I suggest that we have Tristan do his intro to the show, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the show. But this will give people a feeling for, we'll get the vibe going. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Pull it up. Pull the mic up to you. Get right up there. Is that okay? This is
good. I don't want to mess with the system.
Here we go. Intro.
To our newest souls in shadowed bloom, Annabelle, Lenore, may the veil you cross tonight never lift again. Roderick, please take them to receive the mark of the Raven. For they join not merely a society, but a sanctum of silence, where the cost of belonging is measured in breath, and the reward is survival.
Wow. Okay, so now let's talk a little about the show and some of the details. where can they see this? Well, Vince, you want to take it from there?
What was the question?
Just talk a little about the show you have produced and is in your living room.
Yeah, so basically, Poétique is a fever dream of Edgar Allan Poe. It's a culmination of all of his works kind of tossed into one brand new story. It's 14 unique characters, all have their own kind of storyline. As the audience, you can come in and kind of follow any storyline that kind of intrigues you. So if you find yourself connecting to a certain character, you can kind of follow along with what they're doing and where they're going. I would say if you come with somebody, you're not going to be with them the whole time. You'll probably get separated at some point. But really, you can kind of choose your own adventure. It's pretty free form in that regard. There are guides there that will help you to follow things. If they feel like you're not in a spot where any action's happening, they may pull you into a room where there is action happening. And it's just like a very dark, fun, performative kind of like dance drama of Edgar Allan Poe kind of culminates everything, is I guess how I would put it.
So people are really involved. They're in the production.
Basically. Yeah, it's like you're basically like a character in the story as the audience. Like you become a living part of it. I've had people tell me that like when they went to see the show that they forgot after a while that they were at a show because they were so involved in it that it just became so alive around them. And some people said too, I felt like a kid again. Like it felt like I felt like a 12-year-old running around just like on an adventure, not knowing what was going to happen, just so excited to see what was coming next. And that's what's thrilling, is because like you get to just see people let loose and have fun, and they all go in not really knowing what to expect, and then they leave like, wow, that was wild. And that's the most gratifying part of it.
You know, and I had a friend come see a show, and they were saying that they wanted to just sort of follow along and see what would happen and sort of stay in the shadows, stay in the back. But they found themselves feeling like a part of this Illuminati group. The whole thing starts, the premise starts as you're invited to Montresor's Manor, and you are one of the Raven Society, already inducted ages past, and so when he greets you like you're an old friend. And everyone there knows who you are, and they will bring you in to their goals and their trifles. They will give you little trinkets. These trinkets can save your life. They can kill you right off the bat. They can turn into little secrets along behind curtains and in special rooms. They're all every audience member is a player.
Yes,
and it's not like a haunted house gore and
no.
Just it's fun.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's playful.
And you know what, also too, when people, like when you get your tickets, which everybody listening is going to get their tickets, when you get your tickets, you're going to see a form and it's going to ask you, do you want to participate or do you want to sit outside, like sit separate and just observe? And there's a couple of people that have put like, I'll decide upon arrival. I guarantee you not one of those people has sat back. They all end up being involved in it because I think people are thinking like, oh, I'm walking into a scary house, or I don't want to be grabbed, or I don't want to be scared, or I don't want to be this. But then they realize that it is just like a huge ball of magical energy that they just like want to immerse themselves in. And if you just sit there, you're not getting the full value of what you are experiencing, like what you should be leaving with. And I think people realize that like within 2 minutes, they're like, I want to be everywhere. I want to see everything. So
right, you just, people want to play. We all
yes.
want to play.
It's a great way to like let your inner child just run free.
And
for
we're
a
all
night.
Stuck being adults and responsible, and we're sick of it.
And this is a pretty good length of a show too. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a show. I call it an experience. I try to avoid the word show because you're not just watching; you're living. So, like, I would say, like, yeah, it's a great way for people to just like let their inner child run free.
I love it. Yes,
I just wanted to share something. I think
this
one
is
of
Daniel Prado.
Yes, by the way, hola chicos. I think one of the best experiences that I've had in the show is to see people going 3 hours without making use of their phones and just being like fully invested in the show. And what you're talking about, we all love playing. And what Poetic is actually offering is that opportunity for people to come and have a great, amazing, and unique night of play with some actors. So it is not so much that you're just coming to see something, but you're coming to participate in this amazing story that we have created for you. And that is what makes the show amazing, not just the actors, but the beautiful things that the audience bring to the story every single night. Every single night is different, it's unique, it's special, and it is an opportunity for everyone just to come together and do this thing that humans do, which is playing and have fun together.
Well, you know, things are just kind of so serious and kind of scary in the world right now, and we are kind of stuck in being adults too much, but mm-hmm. we need to have some fun. And it is rare to have an experience that's like a high degree of craft and art, but also where we can be free and playful. And, you know, and there's a breakdown between the actor and the audience. So it's not so much we're consumers, you know, theater can be something where we're all having fun together. We're not just like observing the star. And that's what you guys are doing.
That is the core premise of Poetic. And if I can say something, I think the most amazing thing of this is that people are coming to a show where every single cast member is so invested that we want to play with the audience. Like, we long for that moment of scaring the audience or dancing with the audience or having those one face-to-face one-on-one moments with the audience and see how the audience is going to add to this. So just for us, it's just the most nourishing aspect of this show is how the audience become actors or players themselves.
That's one of the things too when I actually direct this and I talk to the cast before the show actually starts, I'm like, make sure you're connecting. The whole thing about everything is about emotional connectivity. So the biggest part for me is that we're emotionally connecting with the audience. Like, emotional connection is probably the biggest component of, that's what makes the show so unique, is that the characters do connect with the audience on a deeper level, more than just like telling the story. They're actually like engaging one-on-one and pulling them into rooms and having that moment of emotional connectability.
It's just kind of rare in LA these days. It's rare in the world.
Yeah. And it's needed in story. It's needed on stage. It's needed in life. So I feel like people don't get a lot of emotional connection in life these days with the phone separating us from each other. I feel like we do, there's like this disconnect amongst people.
Yeah.
So like, not only is this show an opportunity for us to play with each other, but it's a way for people to feel that love. Even like that one moment where Annabelle may take somebody and have them walk her into the room. They may feel like, I'm really special in this moment. I'm the one that walked with Annabelle. I'm the one that Bernice chose to deliver this monologue in this room. I'm the one that, you know, like when people get chosen and people get greeted and pulled and feel a part of it, because there's so many of those moments throughout the show. There's so many that like everybody has that moment of feeling like a highlight in the story, like a key part of the tale.
And great music too. And by the way, people,
I wish I could say I wrote the music, but I had nothing to do with that.
People can go to Poetic, P-O-E, there's two E's, P-O-E-E-T-I-Q-U-E.com, and find out all the dates. It's in North Hollywood and all the details.
It's actually in Echo Park.
Okay. Oh, not.
Yeah, it's by Dodger Stadium.
Okay, so I stand corrected. Why don't we hear just from the other two actors, and then we have a special reading of The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Jewel, what's your experience? Tell us something that's unique has happened.
Yeah, definitely. It's an incredibly unique experience. I'm used to a lot of stage or TV film. There's not really much of kind of emerging of that. And I think with this show, when the set is so open, because literally the set is just, once people walk in, there you go, you're part of the action. That's the thing I love. I love the element where four different people could come and see this and four different outcomes of the show they would all get. Because seriously, there's so many things that are going on at so many different moments that you're never bored, first of all. And also you're never not seeing any sort of action. Like, there's always, if someone's, you know, talking about their cat, somebody's talking about their son, their daughter, their loved one. I think that's just a really unique layer to the show. And I actually came and saw it one time, or not one time, a couple of different times, but one of the times that we opened, and I went up to Vince right after. I said, "This is really good." And he said, "Yeah, you're in it."
Yeah. So the cast changes around a little bit, but
So we have counterparts for each one of our roles, and it was actually a really cool experience getting to kind of work through a script in that way, because this is so experimental in a lot of ways.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It was, you know, my counterpart Jay. Special shout out. What up, Jay? It was really, really cool. We were just kind of going back and forth just on different layers that we can bring. And I think with the differentiation of casts, it brings just a totally different layer to the show too. No one's better. Everyone's just different, you know?
Yeah. Gotcha. It's unique.
Yeah. I have like two or three people playing each role. And each person just brings a different edge to their character. And while you know, the same story is told. It's told in a different way through a different lens.
Let people be express themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted. I wanted it to be where, like, oh, well, when I saw the nurse in the show, she was like this. And, well, when I saw it, she was like, she had this really awesome accent. And it's like, yeah, but this one, she was like, really, like, she just slammed the tray down and they have different ways of articulating the same story. So it's like everybody brings their own beautiful flair to, like, their characters, which is really cool to see. The different dynamics, because you're like, oh, this person and this person is playing it tonight. Oh, that's going to be interesting. Oh, this person is with this person. Okay, cool. So it's fun. And it never gets old, because, like, we always have new people to play with and new audiences too, which double up on that. So it's like new audiences, new cast.
Right. Well, that's a good producer to work for, you know, like that lets you expand and be yourself and be creative.
Well, thank you.
Deanne, what would you like to say?
I just, with this show, I got to see so many people grow in so many different ways through the process. I definitely grew. Vince, oh my gosh, we were going through it, but we just had so many amazing moments, and so many special friendships have been developed. Like, 3 months ago, I didn't know Tristan or Jewel, but I love them so much, and they're so special to me, and everybody on this team is just astounding. But yeah, you guys kind of stole all my thunder and all of my words, because I don't have a whole lot to add to this. But I just, back with the whole, like, audience thing, everybody comes in and they're masked. So everybody's anonymous. You don't know who it is. I've had people that it's like my friends, and I don't even realize it's them. And I get to play with them. And I think that is just so special. And then, like, there are just moments where I get to just hold a stranger's hand and feel connected to someone that I never would have known. I never would have interacted with them if it hadn't been for this and this opportunity. And I find that so special. It's so sweet. Mm-hmm. It's a great time.
Yeah, I love what we created.
Well, when theater is transformational, it's a enchanted experience, and this is transformational both for the audiences and the cast. So what a wonderful thing. Well, let's hear some of The Raven. This is read by your host, Mystic Pete, and then I'm going to try to get Ilea on from London on our...
Come on, Ilea. From London.
From London, and then we'll have some more readings. So here is... Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Read by Mystic Pete. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. "'Only this, and nothing more. "'Odd, distinctly, I remember it was in the bleak December, "'and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor.' Eagerly, I wished the morrow. Vainly, I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, that it is, and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I. Or, madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is, I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore. Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. Surely, said I, surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more. Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore? Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door. Bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me as my hopes have flown before. Then the bird said, nevermore. Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whose unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore, oh, never, never more. But the raven, still beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretched, I cried, thy God has lent thee, by these angels he has sent thee, respite, respite, and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, O quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet, said I, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent, or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm of Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above, by that God we both adore, tell the soul with sorrow laden if, within the distant Aden, it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels named Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels named Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word our sign in parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked, upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul has spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit thy bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight over him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul, from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor, shall be lifted nevermore.
KXLU 88.9 FM in LA, KXLU.com, all around the world. In fact, it's even being heard in London right now. We have on the phone Ilia Anais. Hi.
Hello.
You are one of the...
Ilia Anais.
Anais. I will get it right by the end of the show, I'm sure. You are one of the producers of Poetique. By the way, that's spelled P-O-E-E-T-I-Q-U-E.com for more information. Tell us about how this has been for you.
You know, it's been a long journey. Vince and I have been in the trenches for over a year now, and writing and unwriting and late nights and cries and traveling to New York for inspiration and shows and all the things. So it's been a long process, and then just so fast, everybody coming together to make magic happen. And the cast has been so incredible, and choreographers Deanne and Peyton just making everything come to life. So it's been a really nice experience to just see, just from the ideas and the vision, and then everything coming together and being Poetique, being eerie and creepy and and emotional and inspiring. And yeah, so many people have just been in awe by all of our performers and the artistry that we have. So it's been great for me.
Everybody has confided in us that this has been a transformational process for them, like a very beautiful, heartfelt experience. And I understand it's been transformational for you. You've actually grown a horn out of your, like a unicorn horn out of your third eye. Was that what you said, Dan?
How? Mystic Pete calling me out.
tell us about how this has changed you.
Wait, hold on. What was the unicorn comment?
Oh no, I was saying you grew a unicorn horn, but I was pretending.
I said no such thing. Okay.
I'm making it up. It's called fiction.
Fiction. How's it changed me? Well, for me, it's been a dream of mine that I've had for so long, and even just having that personally, that dream, and then getting connected with Vince and kind of being able to, or just having the opportunity to do this and have so many amazing, not just talent and artists, but like amazing humans come together. And it's like turned into a family. And I think all of that, it's just, I mean, you have like a dream or a vision, and then just seeing like, oh, how did this even happen? All of a sudden it's here in our laps, and somehow all these people, you know, together that some of them handpicked that we, you know, had in mind for a long time, or some people that just like popped up, and to see it come together, I think it's just like, gosh, I don't know, almost inspirational that for my own life that I'm like, oh, wow, you know, things do happen for a reason, and they come together, and dreams do come true. And so I don't know, I think for me it's like, it's just been inspiring, or it's been a reminder that to like have hope when, you know, things don't work out in a quick process, because even in like the longer journey of it, it turned out the way it was supposed to.
Ayelia, thank you so much for sharing. You know, in this time of, well, it's like some grim forces are trying to drag all of humanity off of this cliff into this abyss of anger. So art and this kind of heartfelt experience of love and pretend and play and a little bit of scary stuff, you know, it's almost like a radical experience. It's like a rebellion against all of this kind of mean forces, but it's so wonderful you're a part of it. Well, we're going to do a little reading right now. We have these four extraordinary actors are going to... Can you still listen from London there?
Well, yes, I'm listening from London.
Okay, well, we'll have Deanne take over this mic. You guys ready?
Let's do it. Yes,
indeed.
Here we go.
It's too risky. I will not have this blood on my hands. Not again.
Oh, but you have this, Doctor. A Lazarus serum.
How did you get that?
Hey, a revival serum, if I'm not mistaken.
It hasn't been tested, all right? It has major side effects that have not been able to be worked through.
You mean to tell me you have a serum that can bring back the dead?
You act as if death is such a terrible thing. Even in the grave, all is not lost.
Oh, but you can make history, Doctor. You can make history right here.
It's out of the question. Give me that.
My husband has other patients to attend to.
Oh, sweet Camille. This is just a matter of science, sense, and sovereignty, none of which fall within your delicate purview, my dear. Your concern is unbecoming.
My wife is correct. My job here is done.
Whatever my uncle offered you, I'll pay you 5 times the amount. Should anything go wrong, we use the Lazarus serums. I'll go first, Doctor. What do you say? In the name of science.
You will not tempt me with gold, sir. I will not damn my soul for your riches.
Oh, but you have the means of a cure, and we're all in danger here, Doctor. That means that you and your wife are also in danger.
Fortunato, please escort Camille to her own quarters.
No! William!
Let her go!
Complete the task, and she will be waiting for you on the other side.
Please, Doctor, sit. Why do you have such resistance?
Yeah! All right. There we go. A scene
A scene from Poetique. Wow, thank you guys so much. Well, why don't we just expand the conversation a minute and talk about theater in L.A. and the vision. What do you have to say? I mean, since COVID, it seems like things are finally coming back, like little bubbles of reality, like the one you're doing is we're reemerging, right?
Yes, and I think we are reemerging. There you go. My Venezuelan accent is kicking in, guys. with so much strength, and I think this takeover also of AI has to do a lot with it. People they're hungry for real human connection, especially after COVID. And with everything that we're seeing that is happening, especially here in LA with the industry, I think this is now the time in which theater is going to bring back that humanity is longing for, which is coming back together, asking the question that matters, and somehow all together find the truth within these stories that we are telling.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
I say the theater underground in LA right now is really...
This is Tristan.
Yeah, it's vibrant. It's wild. Especially the indie theater scene. They're trying things that I've never seen before. They're using scripts that are created from just wild minds, and I for a long time I've been looking for how theater is evolving. I've been trying to find did we reach its peak, or is it still changing?
Immersive is where it's kind of heading now.
Bingo. Yeah. This is a style of theater where there's no such thing as supporting roles or small roles, because if our show is any example, every single character has a 2-hour arc that if you come and you see it one time, you'll get the main story. When you come see it again, you'll realize, oh my God, the person who I wasn't watching at all has an entire beautiful story happening, filled with tragedy, and some of our best moments come when you're watching the players that no one else is, and seeing a part of their story that you couldn't have imagined is so full of depth.
Mm-hmm. Please. Well, just specifically for Poetique, like Tristan said, there are no small roles. We have those 14 unique characters. And I've sent this in all of my emails. Every character is important, and we're all influencing and impacting each other's story. And I think that's just true in all theater settings, all life settings. Like, no matter what role you play in someone's life, you influence it, you impact it. Yeah. You're taking a lesson from that human, that character, that spirit. Like, it's just, and it's a really cool thing.
I'm constantly learning from the show too, and I wrote it, and it's crazy because I'll be learning about these characters as they're developing, and as I'm seeing people like build these backstories and intertwine themselves and bring things to the table, and I'm like, oh my gosh, even though I wrote this, that makes so much sense when this happened and that happened, and I didn't even intend for that to make so much sense, but it just does. And then this works out, and then, oh my God, now we're adding this, and then we start getting new ideas, and we start redirecting scenes, and then we start elevating scenes, and we're changing this choreography, and we just did a whole new choreography piece today, which is phenomenal and beautiful, and elevating that whole scene. So like, the show is constantly still evolving. And we're still learning about who these characters are, and we're still building off of it, and we're still painting on the canvas. Like, it's not done yet. So even though we have something tangible and we're sharing it, it's continually evolving. And that's what's so amazing about this as well, because it never ends. It just keeps getting more and more amazing.
I think it's funny that you actually mentioned sort of that there's this dark thing that's kind of overcoming like society right now, because I think that this show really kind of addresses that. Yeah. There's a lot of, and Edgar Allan Poe himself had a lot to say kind of about how greed, love, great concepts on love as well. So it's cool to tell just a very real story. And a lot of this stuff actually is kind of like, yeah, I believe in this stuff. Yeah, we shouldn't allow, these super culty rich people to
control everything
and keep the artists and keep all of us kind of down a little bit. So I think that that's also something really cool, is to just read a script and read words from Vince mixed with Poe to kind of... And also the layering of the characters, too. I mean, specifically, like, I looked up my character, Dr. William, which is based off of William Wilson, which is one of his pieces. We have Annabelle here, which is... There's the poem Annabelle Lee. I forgot the name of Montresor, where he's from.
Montresor, but from the Cask of Amontillado.
So these are Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, all works of Edgar Allan Poe. So all
but
of these
you're not actually reading any of the works like I just read.
No, so yes. There's actually, like, throughout the dialogue, there are, like, one-liners dropped throughout. But, like, the script is kind of written in the tone and style of an Edgar Allan Poe story, but it is all, like, original.
And the environment. You're in a...
Yeah, you're in an 1800s, like, steampunk manor. Steampunk, yeah. Victorian manor. Because it's, like, it's a metal warehouse. Like, it's not, like, you're not in an actual Victorian house, but, like, you kind of forget that you're not. Yeah. It, like, you really feel, like, even though you're in this, like, arched, like, air hanger, it's like we dress it and the walls and the lights and the candles and the costumes and the music, like you really fall into a storybook. So it does feel like you're in an old Victorian manor, even though you're totally not, like, yeah. You don't even realize it.
Did you finish what you were saying, Jewel?
Yes,
you did.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think there is, like I was saying to Ilea, something almost radical about doing art, mm-hmm. Particularly that's very heart-centered, that creates social intimacy, that breaks down the barrier, you know, the fourth wall. It's beautiful, and it's sweet, and it's tender, and people are vulnerable. And it's kind of the antidote to this, you know, just awful. I mean, just, you know, wearing a frog costume right now can be... an act of rebellion. Yeah. So
I was trying to get an idea for a Halloween costume. So thank you, frog.
There's going to be a lot of frog costumes.
A frog
this,
has been added to
this
poetry.
Episode.
Well, why don't we kind of head towards closure here with a monologue by Jewel Valentine, and this one is Infiltration, something like that.
Infiltration thriller.
Okay.
They speak of me as a man of science, as salvation wrapped in flesh, yet they do not see the blade above me. Down, steadily down, it crept, inch by inch, line by line, that's how it feels. With every breath I take, the pendulum swings, slow and precise, over this wretched heart of mine. And with every life I promise to save, it lowers. God, help me. I'm a prisoner of my own hands. I failed her. Morella's child. I called it mercy, but it was hubris. Her stillness haunts me. Those small lungs silent in my arms forever. God, how could I have been so selfish, all in the name of science? Would it not be kinder to fall into darkness than to stand beneath that ever-falling blade? But then I remember my love, Camille. My heart beats for you still. We will be free, I swear it. Lord, have mercy on our cursed souls. For you I fight. Against the blade. Against the red death itself.
I think you kind of like nailed it to the time.
Did I?
Yeah. You were right at the end.
I didn't even hear it.
Wow.
That's great.
Well, in closing, anyone? POETIQUE.com for all the details.
Yeah.
And Echo Park.
And bring a friend, bring friends. Definitely something you want to do with a group, for sure.
Okay.
It's definitely enjoyable. Something you'll all have something to talk about on the way home. It's like you'll all have a different experience. Dress up in costume.
You'll get to check each other's stories, cross references, figure out what really happened, because you're not going to get the full story if you just come one time. So... recommend coming two or three, actually.
Oh, okay. Tristan.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's a choose-your-own-adventure in play and dance form.
Daniel.
Yes, we cannot wait for you to come play with us and just have the best experience of your life in this Halloween season. There's nothing like poetic in town.
Beautiful. Well, I'll play one more. Is that it? We got about said all the words that can be said?
I think so. Ilea.
We said all the words.
Ilea, anything?
She's still on the phone?
She's still on the phone.
Oh, Ilea, you get the final word.
Any closing words, my dear?
So much pressure. I'm just grateful for this whole Poetic family and so excited for the world to see it. We'll be touring as well all over internationally, finishing out in London. Manifested.
World tour, baby.
All right, we'll play one more tune called Halloween Night, and then I'm going to pick up with a mix from LA Party, so we'll just go into some dance music after that. And I will be back next Saturday night at 11 p.m. with In a Dream. Sunday night I have a talk show, just kind of like this, called The Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. Thank you so much for coming, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. That's it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Poetic.
Spiders and sliders and headless horse riders, creaking and shrieking under your bed. Horny toad lizards and green chicken gizzards, the oddest things turn up dead. Creepers and reapers and whimpering weepers, a loud shocking captain grim. Defy the